Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, survivors, welcome to episode 123 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And we're here to cover The Walking Dead Season 10, episode 22, titled Here's Negan. But we do have some voicemail from Renee from about last week's episode, Season 10, episode 21, titled Diverged. She left us actually two pieces of feedback, so I will play them both. And here we go.
Hi guys, this is Renee from Atlanta. I'm so sorry. I'm going to do the recap from last night and last week because I didn't get the call in last week about the one with Carol. I'm going to call it the rat and the suit because that was god awful. Like, even though I'm invested in Carol and Daryl, that still was the worst freaking episode ever to me. Like, seriously, well, I didn't say the worst. The one before with Princess was much awful. But this right here was like, why? Why do we even need that episode? Why did we need it? It was, like, just awful. It made no sense to spend an hour with Carol chasing a rat, making some soup, and it was just, I didn't like it. But the one tonight, with Negan, oh, yes, it was much, much better. And I think it's because, no, like I said, because I'm investing in Carol and Daryl. I just didn't like it last week, the other week. But this one was okay because they gave us Negan's backstory. And I really wanted to know his backstory because I was wondering why he became so evil. If he was a coach at the school or gym teacher or whatever he was. And, you know, kids are naturally drawn to him. So most time when kids are drawn to you, somewhat of a good person. And I was just, so that answered a lot of questions. And to me, he became the guys. He acted like them, the ones that, you know, kidnapped him and went to nowhere with the doctor and his daughter or whatever. And if I'm not mistaken, the young lady that was with the doctor ended up with Negan with the saviors because they look like the same young lady. But yeah, like I said, this episode was okay because of the giving us the backstory, what happened with Negan, which does not I still, like I said, have a love hate relationship with him because of how he did Glenn. And so this does not, I mean, I feel a little bit more empathetic towards him, but not still. I mean, I feel like Maggie still deserves some type of peace, and I feel like she's going to get Negan. Something is going to happen. What's going to happen? I have no idea, but something's going to happen. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Fear next week. Okay, talk to you guys later. Bye. Hi guys, this is Renee from Atlanta again. I'm calling about the Walking Dead podcast, of course. Alrighty, I just listened to you guys' feedback from last week, which I did not call in last week, but I gave a feedback when I rated Negan's this week. Last week, I don't know what the heck came up. I just forgot. I know why I forgot, because it was boring. Super boring. That's how I forgot. I totally forgot. The other podcast, I have to call them in by Sunday. You all give up until Tuesday. So when it was time for me to do you guys, I totally forgot. But anyway, I'm calling back again. I heard the feedback. I was at the gym, just heard the feedback. You all said to go, you went back and rewatched it and was a little bit better or whatever. No. Tried it, couldn't do it. Boring, 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 and then boring again. It's like The Walking Dead is an embarrassment for that episode to me. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it because they could have kept that crap. Like, seriously, the ratings are already super low, as Brian says every week. I mean, it's like he reiterates that every week. So it's like Walking Dead, why would you do this? Like, people are already leaving you guys, and for you to bring on some crap, it's like you're trying to I don't know. It's like you're making a mockery of The Walking Dead to me, especially with that episode. I mean, this is Daryl and Carol, a fan favorite, and for it to be the most boring episode out of the six, like, really? But like I said, when I rated it yesterday, the Negan episode did redeem itself because, you know, Negan, that was a pretty good episode. But I'm ready for Fear. I cannot wait until Sunday gets here. And I will be back on social media because my fasting is over. But I really kind of enjoy calling in. So I don't know. I'll probably do both and you all decide which one you want to use. But, you know, you guys are my favorite podcast. I may podcast on other ones, but you guys are my favorite. Alrighty. Bye.
Thank you, Renee. Love the feedback. And yes, I'm glad. Well, I guess I have to agree. It was definitely a boring episode. So we both all were on the same page there. But glad that you liked this episode.
I want to say that I, you know, thought that maybe if I watched it again, I would find it less boring. And at the time, I hadn't watched it a second time, but as of today, I have watched it a second time, and it's still boring. So,
yep, I'll agree with that. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little better on second watch.
Yeah,
but it maybe goes from a 5 to a 6. That's about it for me.
That's kind of generous.
Yeah, maybe 5.5. It just wasn't a good episode. And the thing that I really noticed on the second watch was maybe why I thought it was such a poor episode. The music in the episode, the score, was interesting. It was good. But if anything, it just was very repetitive, and it brought on the actual, like, reaction. Like, in other words, the fact that they weren't speaking, it made it more accentuated.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it didn't help the story. It kind of hurt the story for me. And it also kind of brought out, like, just the stupidity in it, like some of the things Megan said in her voicemail last week, you know, about, like, why would she think that she was going to be able to catch a rat in a cardboard box and, you know, all that. Very, very true. But yeah, it's not a good episode. I think it's the worst episode of The Walking Dead. And I can't think of one. I didn't like Service very much when it came on, but I think that was because our guys were subjugated so much by Negan that episode. This one, it's just boring, you know? And
I was just going to say, at least they went out on a high note, because these extra episodes, you know, it started off okay, and then it got a little worse, and then it got a little worse, and then it got a little worse. And after last week, I'm going, you know, how low can we go? You know, how far can we sink? And I think this redeemed them a little bit. You know, this, you know, brought it back. The question is it too little too late?
Yeah.
You know, if we could have had at least something this good for the other extra episodes, then I don't think we would be having the same conversation that we're having about these.
There was nothing there that really helped the story. Like, if it never existed, there would be no problem. You know, like, that there would be nothing, like, no problem. Like, we would not be like, oh, we got some, you know, information from it that, like, helped with what's possibly going in season 11,
but yeah,
this is never going to be remembered ever.
Oh,
it'll be remembered. It just won't be remembered fondly.
Right. But it'll just be like, that's the episode that you skip whenever there are people doing their rewatches.
Like, I think when you know, think of this episode that we just saw and we're about to talk about, this episode, it brought a backstory to Negan that I think a lot of us were waiting to see. Mm-hmm. And it brought a lot of detail, a lot of It explained a lot about the character, and it also set in motion just some stuff. Like right at the end of the episode, you're going, "Oh, I can't wait for season 11."
Yep.
You know, whereas the last episode, there was nothing in that episode that it was just complete waste of time.
And I'm going to save part of my commentary about what I think about last week when we talk about this week, because I think it's apropos.
I just wonder if it would have helped if they called last week's episode, "Here's Jerry."
Well, no, it would have been better if it was a Jerry
episode. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like that was the only thing good about the episode. It was like, "There's Jerry."
Jerry. What would you name the rat if Jerry was the mouse in the cartoons? It's like Rat and Jerry.
Oh. Yeah, Chucky, cheese. I don't know. All right. Well, let's go on. We got one from Dieta.
Yeah, we got a little thing from Dieta when it was tagged on to my survey about whether or not we should throw the explicit tag on the episode last week. She just said it was an okay episode. Shrug. Just reminded me of a soap opera. Daryl and Carol drama continues. Laughing face.
All right. I'll take that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all. Thank you for your name, Dieta. But let's continue into this week's episode, The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 22, titled "Here's Negan," written by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, former producer on The Walking Dead. Screenwriter of TV and film.
Yeah, he was a consulting producer. That was his title.
Oh, okay.
So,
he was a screenwriter of TV and film of like Orphan, Red Riding Hood, Wrath of the Titans, The Conjuring 2, Aquaman, and the upcoming The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, Aquaman 2, Till Death, and Orphan, First Kill.
Yeah, so he goes back and forth between doing screenwriting, and most of those are, you know, he's writing with someone. Mm-hmm. So none of those films I think are exclusively written by him, but a lot of the films aren't exclusively written by one writer anyway. So that's like a typical thing, but you know, he's also been, doing TV writing as well. So he goes back and forth.
So those may be and credits.
They could be. They could be, and they could be story buys.
Yep.
So
nice. Well, he also did 13 episodes of The Walking Dead, which is one. Here's Negan. What did it say? Written by him.
Yes, he was an exclusive writer of this one.
And he did season 2, episode 5, Chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
Hey, I'm from the South, and I have a. Like, yeah.
Hey, I'm from the South, and I could say chupacabra.
Yes, but you don't understand. I have my dad's little mental Southern estate that
chupacabra.
You just say things, but the other person knows what you're saying, but you said it completely wrong. Like he says, "The Littlest Mermaid," not "The Little Mermaid." Or, anyways, yeah. I just I never get anything completely right, but you. Understand it.
That explains a lot.
Yes, it should.
Chupacabra.
Well, that's where Daryl hallucinates Merle. Season 2, episode 9, Trigger Finger. That was a shootout at the bar after the Nebraska episode. And season 7, episode 6, Swear. I guess Tara. Oh, that's when Tara finds Oceanside. I remember that. Season 7, episode 11, Hostiles and Calamities. Eugene joins the Saviors. Season 8, episode 4, Some Guy. That was the death of Shiva. Oh, I forgot about that. Season 8, episode 5, The Big Scary You. He did the story by and teleplay by.
Yeah, so there was a story and a teleplay where the credits weren't the same between the two, so... But he had story and teleplay credits on there. Nice. So that's how to read that.
Season 8, episode 8, How's It Gonna Be? That's when Carl is bitten. Season 8, episode 15, Worth. Eugene hides from Rosita.
And I think it was also Daryl, that Daryl and Rosita were going after him, and he was like hiding in the ashes or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Season 9, episode 2, The Bridge, that's when they start working on the bridge. Season 9, episode 8, Evolution, Jesus dies, which I don't have that sound effect. Season 9, episode 13, Choke Point, and season 10, episode 9, Squeeze, which is the infamous cave episode.
And I couldn't remember, I didn't have a chance to look up Choke Point. Do you remember what episode Choke Point was?
No.
Nope.
Ah, okay. Daryl's daring rescue mission forces Alpha to unleash a group of her own to retrieve what belongs to her, even if the price is paid in blood. Plus, the kingdom's plans to reunite the communities are put in jeopardy. So I think that has to do with Daryl trying to rescue Lydia. I think that's what that has to do with. So.
And it was directed by Laura Belsey. This is her sixth episode directing The Walking Dead. She also directed season 9, episode 15, The Calm Before, People on the Pikes episode. Season 10, episode 5, What It Always Is. Negan Has a Groupie episode. Season 10, episode 15, The Tower, the one that ended up being the end of season 10B because the last episode wasn't finished because of the pandemic. And the last week's season 10, episode 19, One More, and season 10, episode 20, Splinter. 28 directing credits, also directed several episodes of The Criminal Minds, Arrow, Queen of the South, and SWAT, among many others. The description of this episode was, with Maggie back at Alexandria, Carol takes Negan on a journey to minimize the increased tension. There, Negan reflects on his late wife, Lucille, and the events that led him to this point. Alrighty, let's get into our ratings. LT, you want to take it?
I gave this one 9 out of 10 Lucille funerals, since we had 2.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. The symbolism of him burning the Lucille bat and burning Lucille. I hadn't thought of that, but
yes,
that's very much true. Mm-hmm.
Well, I give it a 9 room temperature chemo drugs.
Yeah. And I gave it 9.6 happy days bullshit. Because that's what Lucille called the jacket. Mm-hmm. Or 9.6 Merle sound alike Kurt Russell lookalikes.
For sure.
Because the guy sounded like Merle, but he looked a lot like Kurt Russell to me.
Call me Plissken.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go into our listener ratings. And our first one comes from Deanna from Detroit, and she rates this episode 9 out of 10. You better hope I don't stop talking. Which he, if I could do my Negan voice, but yeah, that was kind of a nice little turning point.
Glynis from Toronto is next, and she gives it 9 out of 10. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
Much better job than I could have done.
I'm now curious of what LT's version would be.
Well, and Renee from Atlanta gives it 10 out of 10. Maggie is going to kill Negan, I hope.
All righty. Thank you all. Let's go into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
All right. Our first awesome sauce comes from Glynis from Toronto. Glynis from Toronto. And she says, the origin of the actual Lucille bat. Laura actually got to hit Negan over the head with the bat that she then gave him. And seeing Negan's first kill with a bat on that biker's lookout, offensive kill, and finishing up with Negan's last kill with the Lucille bat on that walker by the tree, defensive kill. the original music used for the survivor lineup when Negan was reasoning with the biker leader Baxter shows that he should have just let Negan go. That choice made Negan into a monster. I didn't catch that. I didn't hear that it was the same lineup, like the music from the lineup. Ah, I have to go back. Thanks, Glynis.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Glynis. LT, you want to take it, Renee?
Okay. Renee from Atlanta says, Negan's backstory was cool and everything, but it just reaffirmed that he has always been a douchebag. and that Janine, who was supposed to be Lucille's friend, I hope the walkers tore her from limb to limb. Anger face, anger face, anger face. And she goes on to say, the way Maggie looked at Negan was epic.
Yep.
Yep. They did talk about that on Talking Dead, about just that whole scene and how it was scripted in just a nonverbal way. But I guess they took several takes of it, and they used the one where he smiled.
Yep.
Yeah, but she gave him the look of death. On both occasions, you know, like when he was, you know, hammering the board, and also when he walked back, you know, she's like, and listeners can't see me do this, but I'll do it to the camera here for you guys.
Brian does the evil scowly face.
Yes. Yes, and she does that so well, because I was like, I'd be scared seeing that face from her.
And I'm sorry, man. I have to counter. He gave the Jeffrey Dean Morgan Negan smile, which is akin to the Jeffrey Dean Morgan comedian smile if you saw Watchmen. But
all right. Thank you, Glenn and Renee. Well, let's go into our Om Awesome Sauce. Brian, you want to start this one?
Negan Smith. Yes. Who knew? Who knew his name is Negan Smith? So I thought that was interesting. I never would have guessed that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the mailbox that Negan hit on the way out, you know, after the house was burning down, it's clearly said N. Smith on it. So That's why we, and it mentioned in Talking Dead and the In Memoriam, it said Lucille Smith. So, and they talked about it, the fact that his name was Smith.
Yep.
So, and I noticed that Negan kind of emerges from the, ashes of the burning home, kind of like, you know, fire has, you know, created this, you know, new Negan, burned the old, away, and you know, new Negan has come back. So I kind of like the symbolism of that. And we see Lucille's first victims. It's not an awesome thing. I just, you know, was pointing out some things that I was curious about in the story of Negan. So, and we also see like how he does not like the idea of men, taking advantage or otherwise mistreating women, which is always a weird thing with him, because, you know, he kind of coerced women to being his, you know, being in his married to him or whatever. But you know, he had more than once, you know, made a victim of someone, who, you know, like I remember that one, savior that went after Sasha, for example.
Oh yeah.
He dispatched him pretty quickly. And, you know, obviously he did that when, you know, beat the guy, you know, an inch of his life, before the zombie apocalypse. And that's how he got the, misdemeanor charge and ended up getting fired from his job. And the fact that, you know, he was a high school gym teacher, which I think is what he was in the comic book.
Yeah.
I did like that Laura was the one that ended up giving him the bat. As far as I know, what I've heard, it's Dwight that does it in the comic book. So, but I thought that use of Laura was completely surprising. And of course, you guys hear at the start of the podcast, one of the voices that we have is Lindsley Register. We interviewed her about a year ago. So that was cool. I'd be curious if at the time, if she knew that she was going to come in to do that or not. She certainly didn't mention anything about it, but, Negan finding the bat in the dirt, which kind of brought on the story of the whole thing. I thought that was really well written, and, I liked how that was done. I also liked how the bat broke. And because it was, again, the symbolic thing of the bat breaking and, you know, he's no longer that Negan anymore. Although, and then, of course, him burning the bat, which I think was appropriate. But I would have, I guess, liked to have seen him drop the bat at Maggie's feet, because I think that would have made more of an impact on her. So maybe if he pulled the remnants of the burned bat out of the fire and, you know, showed her or something, I would think it might make some kind of impact on her. I don't know. But
I thought the same thing though too, because it was kind of like he comes back and we just witnessed on the show of his kind of transformation, like trying to redemption or just like feeling bad and like saying like this part of my life, I was horrible. It was bad. You know, I should whatever. And then it's over. But then he comes back and it's just kind of like, no one knows that. Like you're just coming back with a smile and you're still sneaking.
Yeah. I mean, with him, you know, obviously he had this kind of like transformation, which of course you can't, what can I say? He had this transforming event, which, you know, he realized that, you know, in pre-apocalypse, he was a cad, right? He was a jerk, a goofball. He slept on his wife and, you know, did not some great things, but he wasn't, like he said, he was a bad man then, but he wasn't trying to, you know, commit a crime or anything, but, you know, he had it in him, I guess. He had those tendencies in him, but he was kept in check,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And the zombie apocalypse just kind of, like I'd heard some other podcasts say, you know, in ways, could Shane have become like a Negan if Shane had survived?
Yeah.
And I kind of think he might have been, you know, he would have been the type that would have done anything, you know, to keep his people safe. And I would think he would do the kind of things that Negan would do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, he's not a character that I've grown to love. You know, he's still a character that, you know, I have some issues with, but they're not the same. Like I'm more sympathetic to him than I've ever been before. I'll just say that after this, the smile that I thought that was brilliant. And I love the fact that, which was explained on Talking Dead, it wasn't scripted and he did it and they ended up keeping it. You know, he did it a couple of different ways, but they ended up keeping the smile. I think that was the right choice. And, I think that whole, you know, last 30 seconds of the episode, I think made the episode and, you know, made me go, yeah, I can't wait for season 11, which, you know, it's, from what I understand, they did release the date, although I don't have it down. They say it was August or something.
I think so.
Yeah. I'll try to get that when we do our news here. But yeah. So anyway, that's all I had. Quite a bit.
Yeah. No, it kind of follows along the same as I kind of was going to go with. It was like just getting the backstory of Negan was like, it just, I mean, you know, it's like we've been kind of waiting for this and, you know, we finally do get it, whatever. But it's just like, I think this episode, they really did it really good. Like it was just in a good way. It wasn't just like, I don't know, it was really good. And actually it was like the way that Jeffrey Dean Morgan like was acting in it, like at the beginning, like he just knows how to emote. Like with his face. And it's like, I really felt like the pain and shame and stuff like that. Like that he started, you know, the episode in the cabin when he saw his alter self or whatever, basically like saying, you know, it's like, hey, you're piggy. It's like, you know, it's like, you can't get away from me. But then it was like, you know, like him, and I don't know how they did it. I mean, obviously it's just makeup or like just different haircut, but it's like, I just thought the young Jeffrey Dean Morgan from the, you know, like what it was like 12 years later or earlier, like was kind of a hottie. he looks better than he did, he does now. So I was kind of like, oh, they made him look really young. And they're like, oh, he is actually really cute. And I guess a part of this whole episode, it was just the fact that it was like I liked obviously getting to see how him, like his backstory with him and Lucille, but it's just how the episode really like started pulling at my heartstrings. Like there was times where I started kind of getting a little teary. I'd be just like, oh my gosh, like the stuff that he had to go through, or like, you know, he's just trying to, you know, take care of Lucille and like get this medication. And like, and then he's dealing with these like bikers, which is like, we all know it's like, yeah, this is how that must have, you know, the world was over and you have to survive. And, it just, it really was, the way that it was written, the way it just visually was done, and just the flashbacks, like the timing of it or whatever. I don't know. It just, it really made me feel like it really humanized him. And then there was other points where it was just kind of like, wait, no, like this is Negan. Like he killed Glenn. He killed Abraham. Like, you know, he's killed so many. And it was just like to have this, that kind of play of like, yeah, he was just trying to take care of his wife, trying to survive the apocalypse. And then that all went bad, and it, you know, he ended up, you know, turning into a monster. And I thought the ending when he starts talking about like where he was at that bar with his wife and they were playing his favorite song, but that one guy that just kept talking over it, and he was just like, you know, when they say it's like sometimes it's like you see red, and he was like, I saw red, you know. And like the biker guy was telling him like, don't, you know, it's like, you just talk too much. I'm just so tired of this. To where he's like, okay, you don't want me to talk. Like, stop talking. Like, that's what you want me to keep talking, because otherwise, you know, something bad's going to happen. But I thought that whole explanation of just like, oh, and then he was like, basically, it's like, you see red. And he's like, but now in this world, it's like, there are no rules. And I can, you know, like, I can see red and it doesn't matter. Like, nothing's stopping me. And I just thought that was such a like wonderful exchange to just show that transformation and just the way he was acting it. And then how we all, like, you knew at that moment, it's like, there's Negan. He's talking. He's like making the story, and you know, it's going to end really bad. But just that whole thing was, I don't know. It was really, really, really good. So I just thought it was really awesome. And then I guess the other last thing I had to say was just like Laura and her dad. And it was just like, it was a fun surprise because I did not expect it. And you knew it was her because of her tattoo, but it was just like, I did not realize. I'm like, oh, like, okay, this is like, that's her dad. And, you know, like, I don't know. We never saw or know anything more than just that. Like if whatever happened to him, or I don't know if he was still a part of the Saviors or like whatever, but I don't know. It was just a fun little surprise, 'cause it was like not expected to see her pop up.
Yeah.
To see somebody we knew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly, I mean, I guess he was a doctor, right?
Yeah. So, no, it's like,
yeah,
he was. It's just,
I mean, was he a doctor at one of the like satellite areas or some, maybe the location that Rick and the gang slaughtered
the people, the satellite
place? Yeah,
could be.
Yep, we'd have to go find out. I don't know.
Yeah, no idea.
Oh, that's it.
That's my turn.
Yep, that's all I had. So LT, what'd you have?
Well, I really thought it was awesome seeing Jeffrey Dean Morgan and his wife act together, because I thought all the scenes they did as Negan and Lucille were well done, but they had the chemistry. You know, when they were mad at each other, you could feel it. It was palpable. I mean, they sold it. You know, when she was in her, you know, her chemo phase, when they made her look, you know, appropriately bad, you know, just the look in their eyes when they talk to each other, I mean, that helped sell those scenes so much more to me. And, you know, maybe it was me, but, you know, Negan or no, I was a little more verklempt through that, you know, just because of, you know, knowing how it is when you have a long-term cancer patient, you know, having experienced that myself, and, you know, just the way that they had her made up and the way they acted it and the two of them, you know, it just made it so much better. And, you know, nothing, I don't want to take anything away from Daryl and Carol, but that's the kind of chemistry, not necessarily the couple-y chemistry, but that's the kind of emotion and that I want to see between the two of them. That's why I think some of the scenes they were together in last week didn't work, because It just didn't give you that feeling. I mean, it gave it to you a little, but it didn't just like sell it. It wasn't that pit of your stomach kind of emotional scene.
Yeah, which I say Daryl and Carol are not the Fox and Scully. Like,
no, and they're, oh, I can't think of her name now. They're not Bruce Willis and What's Her Face in Moonlight either. Sybil Shepherd, you know,
right?
That I just would like to have a little bit more there.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely.
And I actually got her name, but Hillary Burton just acted her ass off. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I can't, you know, even when she was healthy and doing the whole scene with him playing the video game and her screaming at him about the jacket.
Yeah.
Not that I know anything about that sort of situation, but. You know, if you've been married and you have things happen, you know, again, absolutely believable, absolutely sold it. It was funny at one point while we were watching it, and my wife came in, she goes, "Hey, wasn't she on One Tree Hill?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yes, she was." The thing I liked about the backstory bits is that this made so many things make sense. You know, like you said before, Brian, even though he was kind of a, you know, he was a cad and a rounder, he still had that, you know, that chivalrous sense that he didn't want, you know, women to be unfairly taken advantage of. He did have a sense of right and wrong, even though it was applied badly and he did some bad things with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it made so much sense, especially after, you know, after he worked so hard to try to find the medicine and get back to her. And when they had the scene where he's coming back into the bedroom and she had it written on the door, "Please don't leave me like this," I was like, oh no. And that just was so, so rough. But yet after that happened, like you said, like the phoenix emerging from the fire, as soon as he started talking to the guy in the biker bar, he suddenly had that Negan cadence. Cause you'll notice that when he was delivering lines before, it's almost like there were parts of it where he was kind of tentative, where when he was talking, he was not, you know, put on your poop and pants, big brass balls Negan that we were used to from the initial Savior arc. But as soon as he was in there and he had the bat and he's talking to that guy, it was,
yeah,
it was Negan all the way.
Yeah. Didn't he say something like put on your shirt and pants or something?
Well,
I don't know if he did or not, but
well, he said something like that when he was playing the video game.
Yeah. That's what I'm what I'm saying.
But I'll have to go on record to say this was a flashback episode that I can get behind.
I was wondering about that, how you were going to react. Yeah. 'Cause this was obviously, a flashback episode and you didn't care too much for the last one.
Well, I'll get to that later. There was just only about one thing that really bugged me about it. And I realized there might be some logistical issues about it, but I'll get to that next block. But yes,
okay.
After we griped about flashback episodes and how I was struggling with a couple of them, this one, I think they did a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all said it, just that look he gave Maggie at the end, because I think that before he found Lucille and before he put the bat in the furnace, you know, after he had the conversation with himself drinking in the cabin and he came back, I think that it's not necessarily a return of the old Negan. I think this is, you know, Negan 2.5. I think that he's learned the lessons on his redemption, but he's kind of got his mojo back, because before he seemed like he was a little beat down. You know, he's working and he's doing stuff and he's like, well, you know, these guys don't like me and I'm here. And I think now he's like, I've done what I've done. I am who I am. I'm here to help. And if you don't like it, well, we'll just have to sort that out.
All right. Cool deal. All right. Well, that leads us into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Well, we didn't have any weak sauce from our listeners this week, so I guess, LT, you had some?
I do. As Mr. Melosh has stated on previous episodes, you can tell that this was still kind of a COVID-y episode. They still had some things that, you know, you kind of knew this was still filmed during the pandemic or under some sort of social distancing. Because once again, it's like not many people in the scene. Even in situations where you think there would be more people, it's still only in ones and twos. The other part that it's not really weak, but it just kind of made me laugh, because the scene where he's at the tree looking for the bat reminded me so much of the movie Holes with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you had to have kids of the right age, I guess. But just that was part of the thing of the movie, is they had a bunch of kids out in the desert digging holes looking for a treasure. And yeah. So one of the shots was just the plane of little holes everywhere. And as they were doing it, that was the comment the first thing I thought of was, it's like Shia LaBeouf in The Walking Dead. And I was going to say, the last thing I was going to say is what I was going to mention before, but since I think it's weak, just the fact that when we first saw Negan, he was more closely shaved. But all through this episode, Jeffrey Dean Morgan retained his beard. So... One could argue that young Negan would have not had the same level of beardedness and would have had less beard as he did when he first appeared, as to the current bearded Negan, which of course he doesn't have long, crazy, you know, long, crazy Rick, I've been in a cell for months and months beard anymore. But that was my only thing. If I had to pick a nit, it would be that he should have not had so much facial hair.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of, but I could get behind that one.
And that's it, because I guess they weren't going to make him shave.
Yeah, just for like.
Just for, and they would have had to have done the Young Negan episodes last.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's really it, is that just from what we saw before, if you really wanted to make it sell, he could have had like 5 day stubble. But as I recall, during the Savior War, he was far more clean shaven.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Well, I mean, I guess it's like, if you wanted to be a little nitpicky, it's kind of like those things do. Yeah. That would agree with, because I kind of had the same thing where like, I was kind of like, okay, well, I was like, there wasn't really anything weak, but it was just like, okay, well, I'll just bring it up because it was the first thing that I thought of. It was just like, I know it's the whole part of the whole story, but it was just like he went to go look for his bat. And I was like, really? It was like there this whole time? You know, I'm like, I don't remember exactly like whenever, you know, Rick slashed his throat and like that whole, you know, under the tree where the, you know, stained glass, you know, picture thing was, you know, so it's like, I know there was just a big war and there's people on horses or something, or like there was just people running around everywhere and this and that, but they did do a little kind of a cut to Michonne saying like, oh no, we just left it. You know, we don't know where your bat is, but I still kind of like, well, if they just left it out there, wouldn't somebody go and get it? Like, as I kind of felt like it's like, if people knew that it was left out there, or I don't know, as I was thinking, like kids of the community, they'd be like, wouldn't they want to go get that famous bat to be like, oh my gosh, it's like they left it, this is the bat that Negan had. And I don't know, I just, him digging around trying to find it, and I was like, okay, sure. They needed it for the story. And I get what Brian says. Like, no, it was a really kind of a good way to connect. It's like, oh, he finds his bat. And then that takes us into the whole, you know, episode. But then I started thinking, I'm like, oh, how long has it been out there? And how long does it take for like nature to cover it with dirt and overgrown that he actually had to like dig it out? I don't know.
I think long, that would be about the right time.
I
bought that because, yeah. I mean, you know, that happened, what, maybe 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. So I tend to think that would be enough time for the bat to kind of burrow and, you know, because you have erosion and you have all that and, stuff goes over.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I've found enough tree limbs in the yard like that mowing the grass. So I would say, it's not as long as you think.
Yeah. Well, I kind of was just like, this famous bat was just going to be left out there and no one would have went looking for it, or it would, or to destroy it, or just to be like, oh, we just left it there. Someone in the community would have been like, hey, I want to go check, like, find that out. Or if other people walking by and be like, oh, here's a bat on the ground.
Yeah, so, you'd think they would like put it on a plaque and hang it over the council, you know, on the council room wall or something.
unless they, which they don't show. It's like maybe somebody, they're just like, they buried it to hide it. So then
here, Negan, here's your bat. I don't know. I tend to think that just them leaving it out there was fitting. I didn't have a problem with him doing that. So,
yeah, it was just kind of like just nitpicking to nitpick, but then it was the first thought I had. It was kind of like, oh, okay, really?
And I also liked how it makes sense that it's going to get weak from the time that, you know, it's sitting out there. So, you know,
breaking apart,
it would,
decomposing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We'll go for it, Brian. What do you have?
I had something about, I don't know if I completely buy that very quick transformation of Negan from good guy or sort of good guy to bad guy. It did seem a little quick. It seemed like maybe we missed something there, but it almost seemed like it was quick enough that a switch was turned. And yeah, I mentioned the fire, but on the second watch, it felt not 100% earned, maybe 75% earned. But I think it could have, like, something there where, you know, maybe he said, like, Lucille, how could you? Or, you know, and him realizing that, and something that I wrote in the notes, she was wearing the same clothes that she was wearing the day he left. So, like, literally, he could have found something that day and she probably would have been dead anyway, you know? So I think that would have tore him apart, but I don't necessarily know if, like, I don't know. It seemed like there should have been a scene there where he kind of went crazy or, you know, like throwing stuff all over the house or, you know, something to sell it just a little bit more for him to make that turn. Cause that was a pretty big turn to make even at that point. Cause it was like literally he goes from, you know, this guy who's trying to save his wife to the Negan that we know, you know, and I don't know if I 100% buy it. I buy it 75%, but I don't 100% buy it.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm making.
Okay. No, and I agree. But like the one thing that I thought was kind of interesting was the fact that it was like when he was talking to the doctor and then telling about when he left her, it had been 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Like I was kind of like, you were gone 6 weeks? Like,
yeah. That was kind of crazy for him to be gone that long. Like, what the heck were you thinking?
It's like you thought she was going to still be there, but then the fact that, yeah, I didn't realize that, you know, she was still wearing the same clothes, and then it kind of makes sense where she's like, she kind of gave him a choice to be like,
yeah,
hey,
yeah,
either go or you stay, and he chose go, yeah. And then she's like, okay, fine, I'm done. But
that was a comment that somebody had made on Talking Dead. I think that she was trying to tell him without directly telling him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because she probably knew. She probably felt it.
Yeah, she was ready, you know, and you could tell by the way she was talking that she had accepted her fate. That, yeah.
Right.
You know, they're really, I mean, she's got cancer in the zombie apocalypse. Exactly, you know, what are you going to do? Like, you're eventually going to succumb to it. It's just a question of when. So like, do you succumb to it by zombie attack or do you succumb to it by your own volition?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And to me, I think she had the right kind of idea. And you know, but Negan wouldn't give up. And I understand why he wouldn't give up. I mean, in certain circumstances, I probably wouldn't give up either, but, you know,
yeah,
at some point there does become a point when you have to accept the truth. And, you know, I've had to experience that myself lately. So, you just have to accept the truth for, you know, what it is and what it is. Sometimes it's not the most, pleasant truth, but it is the truth, and you have to move on.
So. Well, I think too, she wanted him to stay. She didn't want to tell him not to, but I think also I took it as she knew that he was going to keep trying and she couldn't talk him out of going.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. The other thing I was going to bring up, I seem to bring up them all the time these days, is the technical issues with AMC. So I had what I was going to bring up is that today I went in, and we're recording this a couple of days later than we normally do. This is Thursday night. And, you know, up until today, my AMC Premiere was still working. Well, as of today, my AMC Premiere is no longer working. So I signed up to AMC Plus, the trial, and I have a feeling that I'm not going to stick with this trial, but I'll get to that in the what sauce. But that's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is for some reason on AMC Premiere, AMC.com, and AMC Plus, all of them, there's something in the episode that wasn't, that was only shown if you watched it live. And I know that it was there because I had heard it mentioned on a different podcast. So I went back to look at it. Now, I also can get it through Spectrum on demand. So I watched it on Spectrum on demand. At the beginning of the episode, it starts with Negan, you know, mm-hmm. doing like a little, like, whatever.
Monologue.
Yeah, monologue. That doesn't exist on AMC.com, AMC Premiere, or AMC Plus. It's not there at all. So what the F?
Yeah.
Like, why would they do that? It makes no sense.
Now, did you look at last week? Did they do the Carol voiceover for?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the only
time. Yeah. It's the only time. The only time that they didn't have it on there. And I don't know why. Because after I watched it a couple of times last night on watching it on Spectrum on demand and saw it there. And I thought, well, you know, having that adds to the whole episode because it kind of explains a little bit of like Negan's actions in the Whisperer War and, you know, the timing, like why he was thinking, you know, he couldn't make a move until he made the move kind of thing. It's just very puzzling why they didn't include this in the AMC.com/premiere/plus version. I don't get it. Now, the plus version has a behind the scenes kind of thing. There's a making of the episode kind of thing that is included for only AMC Premiere, which I haven't had a chance to watch yet, but that's one difference that I've noticed. But I'll get more into AMC Plus and the what sauce because I have what sauce about it.
Okay.
Alrighty. All right. Well, if that was all, let's go into our what sauce.
What?
And we got some what sauce from Renee from Atlanta, and she says, Negan returning to Alexandria like it's all good. I can't wait until Maggie takes his freaking head off. Angry face or cussing. I don't know if that's cussing or angry. Kind of looks like cussing. And she's like, ooh, no redemption for me. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Renee, for your what sauce. And I guess, LT, do you have any?
I do. My hot sauce is that was the smallest biker gang ever. Ever.
Yep.
Because what? Three guys? Because it was Kurt Merle, go outside and check, and, you know, that one. Why isn't so-and-so answering the radio?
Yep.
And once again, we heard gunshots outside, but we didn't see any bodies drop. So
I just figured out who else that guy looks like. Ray Liotta.
Yeah. Ray Liotta with a mullet.
Yeah.
I figured, hey, you know, there's three of them. Yeah, let's form a gang.
I think it was a little more than three. I think there was a little more than three because there was two in the bar, and there were at least three outside.
Yeah, but I think there were two outside that we saw. The one that died first.
Yeah,
And then there was another guy that was walking up that I think he got shot. But he after shot. That, you never saw. But
I thought he shot somebody else.
No, I don't know. Not outside.
Regardless, it was a small biker gang. Whether it was five or six or whatever, it was small. Yeah. I agree with you.
All right. Thank you, LT. I didn't have any wet sauce, but Brian, you did.
Like the group that, since I brought up Nebraska, the group that was like traveling around in Nebraska that we never got to see except for the two guys, or three guys, actually, they were probably a bigger group than those guys. And that was around the same time in the apocalypse. So
they just didn't have cool vests.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll start with the most obvious thing. Why didn't they do all the episodes like this one? You know, I mean, clearly this one was superior to the other five. I mean, I really liked the one with Aaron and Gabriel a lot, but I thought that this one was so much better than the other five.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially when you compare it to last week. Mm-hmm. It just makes you wonder, like, why they didn't do something like this. Because to me, I think telling this backstory would have been a good thing. I mean, I'll give you an example here. People have been clamoring for more Maggie stuff. Why didn't we see a backstory of Maggie in the time that she was away?
Right.
You know? Right. Like, why didn't we get to see that? To me, that would have been a great story for us to see. It would have filled in a lot of the blanks. Another one would have been, say, I don't know, since I brought up Aaron and Gabriel, I could see a story with either of them. You know, I could see a story with, say, Ezekiel, you know, becoming the king or something. Like, how you could do it in COVID style, I'm not sure. But to me, you know, those would have been the kind of stories that I would have liked to have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Another one would have been like a backstory to Daryl. That would have been fantastic. Because we never really got to see, you know, we heard about like Daryl and Merle, but we never got to see them, you know. So that would have been cool if they could have somehow gotten Rooker, you know. But anyway, that's the big takeaway is like, why weren't the rest of them like this? The other ones, especially last week, it was really an underachiever. And, or I guess you could say, you know, if it was trying to achieve not very much, it succeeded.
Yeah.
So, the TV that Negan and Lucille had was not zombie apocalypse appropriate. Now, what I mean by that is I noticed it was, had no bevel, like the screen went right to the edge, and that is more appropriate to a TV of 2020, 2021, even 2018, like my TV from 2018 has that. So that was something I noticed right away is like, that doesn't look like a TV from 2010. the last thing I mentioned before, my AMC premiere stopped and I said I was going to start through AMC, AMC Plus. And, you know, you can get AMC Plus a few different ways. Some of the providers offer it, like if you have DirecTV or Dish or YouTube TV, Sling, you can get it that way. We don't have any of those. My choices were Amazon, Apple TV, and Roku. And we have a Roku. We do a lot of our stuff through Amazon, but all the Amazon stuff's through my wife. So I thought, I don't really want this on my wife's thing. So, or Apple TV. I don't have a Mac or, I have an iPad. That's the only thing I have that's Mac. And you have an app that's on the Roku that can play it. But still, it didn't seem like a good choice. So I picked the Roku. It wasn't great on the Roku. Like, I'm not talking about watching it on the TV, but like I watched it on the computer and it was very jaggedy. Like, what I mean by that is I'd say it was like playing 10 or 15 frames a second. Mm. That's mm-hmm. it. So I wasn't too impressed. So I'm going to see how it is like actually on the Roku. But if it's not much better, I don't see me keeping the trial. I could see myself moving to just getting it on Amazon or Apple TV because I did not think it was very good. So, and you're the weird thing about that is you're stuck to whatever, you know, interface that whatever you buy it's on. So anyway, that's what I had to say. I just found it was choppy in on the Roku. Like, again, I'm not watching it in an app. I'm watching it on the browser. So it may be different and maybe, you know, I had too much going on in the browser, but it was, like I said, it was very choppy. Like it was noticeable, where you could see the frames moving, you know?
Okay.
So that's, anyway, that's my take.
All right.
It's worth it. What sauce?
Yep. All right. Well, then that leads us into our sad and aw sauce. All right. We got two from our listeners, and I'll start with the first one. Glenn is from Toronto, and she says, Lucille used the last bullet on that walker to save Negan, so forcing her to commit suicide by that slow, horrible death via that plastic bag over the head. Yeah. I mean, I thought she had a whole bunch of pills that she probably took that did that. Yep. But, I mean...
Yeah, she did, but she had planned to use the bullet. You know, she was gonna use the bullet. Yeah. So...
But it was just sad.
Mm-hmm. It was.
And I would say arguably atypical for a female.
True. Mm-hmm. But she was a strong female. So I think it makes sense.
Okay.
Based on that.
Yep. All right, LT, you want to take the next?
It's from Renee from Atlanta. And she says, the way that Maggie looked at Negan with so much hurt and anger in her eyes made me sad. Because I know every time she sees him, she thinks about that god-awful moment when Glenn was brutally murdered in front of her.
Yeah.
Crying face. Negan's wife dying all alone because he's a douchebag. And she asked him to stay, but no, because he's a freaking douchebag, he left her all alone to die. Angry, eye rolling.
Yeah, fist punch or
fist punching. Fist bump.
So... thank you guys. All right. Well, then that takes us into our own sad and aw sauce. And, LT, you're back up again.
Yes, I am. And my sad sauce was just the look on Negan's face when he made it back home, when he saw the door and he walked in there and saw her on the bed after all that he had been through, you know, after having to, you know, get clonked on the head with a bat and get the meds and get back and deal with Ray Kurt biker guy. And then he finally gets back to her and then there she is. And say what you want, but to me, Jeffrey Dean sold it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Agree. Great acting. I only had, it was just Maggie, like kind of agreeing with Renee. It was just like, still like for Maggie having to just still see the man who killed Glenn. And it's just like, you can see it in her face. It's just like, she's like just reliving that trauma. Like, it's like, she just, he just does not go away. even after she's been gone this whole time, you know, and then comes back to the colonies or Alexandria. And it's like, he's still there. Like, you know, I'm sure their communication was not that great. So she probably did not quite know what the status was with Negan, that maybe he was still in jail or hopefully he died. But it just, I don't know. It's kind of like, I agree with Renee. It's like when him walking back into Alexandria and he had that smirk, even though now they, like on The Talking Dead, it was like they did several different shots and then it wasn't like really like scripted that way. They just chose the one where he did smile and it's just like Maggie looking back at him. I mean, I don't know. It just, it was kind of like, it was sad. But then it was also, it's like more like it just hurt. It was just like, she, just, you know, she's just like, that just that is just tearing her apart inside. Or at least that's how I would feel. That's all I had for my sad, hurtful, and awesome. Brian, what do you have?
Well, I had something similar to what LT had, so I won't say that, but I'll say that Lucille saved the jacket for him. I thought that was kind of an aw sauce, you know, in a way. You know, first she says it's like, what, you know, what's with this happy days bullshit, which I thought was really funny. hey. Anyway, so then, of course, she saved it. So, you know, I guess she couldn't return it, but made me wonder, it's like, couldn't she really return it? Couldn't she exchange it somehow? Like, wouldn't there be?
Yeah, like some.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think in 2010, she would have been able to, like, exchange it for a store credit, at least. I don't know.
Depends on where they, bought it.
I guess. But yeah, the fact that it was, I thought it was kind of cool that the jacket came from her, sort of, in the fact that she didn't return it.
Right.
She, yep.
And it, yeah. And it appeared back up like however many months, that was like 6 months later or whatever it was. But yeah, it was just a touching little kind of deal where she kind of surprised him and like, oh, here's a gift. Happy anniversary. All right. Well, next. All right. Well, that leads us into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Yes. And we got to see Rick too in sort of flashback
mode, but yep, that's definitely good to see him pop in here and there. So that helped. All right. Well, our first feedback comes from Renee from Atlanta. And she goes on and she said, this episode was super good. And I am so happy The Walking Dead redeemed itself from those horrible, horrible last episodes. Like I said, they could have kept that mess besides the one with Maggie and the one with Daryl and his boo. They were all yuck, yuck. like throw up face. I am so looking forward to Fear. I think because I have been hearing a lot of chatter about something bad going down and that we're not going to be happy. So we'll see. I mean, as long as nothing bad happens to Morgan, or Alicia, I'm good. I'm so happy Lent is over. I've been eating and drinking everything. like dancing lady icon or emoji. And she's like, woo, chili. that's too funny. Well, glad you're back and Lent is over. Yeah, I was going to go into what I kind of caught. I try to stay away as much as I can on the socials to not catch anything, because I know that you can now watch the episode a week before if you have AMC, like, you know, pluses and premieres.
Yeah, I was going to mention that actually. But you know, and it's not a week for everything, but it's several days for everything. But this week for the premiere of Fear, you could have watched it, you know, several days, like on Sunday, you could have watched both the finale and the premiere.
Yeah.
I didn't, I still haven't watched it yet as of Thursday night, but you know,
yeah,
I will.
But I agree. I'm like, I have it in my notes towards the end in the news. Just like there's something's happening and it's making me really look forward to Fear. And I just, it's what it is. I don't know, but I'm like, yeah, we looking forward to it.
And I was going to ask Brian, since he might know, when are they going to do, is the, miniseries thing, the webisode for Fear, is that going to be on Plus Premiere?
I do not know.
yeah, okay. I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah, I believe it was going to be available like on AMC.com, AMC Plus, but also YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, like from what they made it sound like, it was going to be available at multiple places. So it wasn't going to be something that you had to have AMC Plus for. It was going to be something that you could watch anywhere.
Well, I'm excited for Fear, but I'm excited to see that as well.
Same here. Agreed. And yeah, but I don't want to have to subscribe to another service.
I'm already plussed out.
I'm very nonplussed. Come on, that was funny. Nonplussed.
All right. Well, thank you, Renee, for your feedback. And LT, or whoever wants to take the next one.
Well, I'll do Dieta. Dieta from Detroit says, I really enjoy this episode. Didn't care about Negan or his backstory, but after watching this, I kind of get him now. I know why he is the way he is, and well, it makes sense. But then I'm reminded of what he did to Glenn when I see Maggie, and then I feel her pain and hate, which I totally understand. How can she ever get past that pain and live in the same neighborhood with Negan? This is going to be an interesting story that I can't wait to see. And I agree.
Yep, I agree as well. Season 11 should be pretty good. All right, and next feedback comes from Glenn's from Toronto, and she goes on and says, did Lucille actually kill herself straight after Negan left? If that's the case, the biker gang weren't really responsible for Lucille's death with their delay tactics. Well, I think you put down some comments that, and they did say that on Talking Dead, that she was wearing the same clothes that she was wearing whenever he left. I definitely, this is like kind of weird. Like I heard them say that, and then I kind of like went back and I'm like, oh wow. I was like, what? I don't know. I guess I just don't pay attention to people's clothes. but I was like, I did not catch that whatsoever. I just thought it was like, hey, he was gone for 6 months or 6 weeks. And I'm like, that's a long time. And how much dog food did she have stored that they were eating? You know, it was like, there's no way that I thought that she was even going to be alive after that long. She goes on. She said, Maggie hasn't said a word to Negan yet since her return. It's just been those killer looks. Wonder how that'll all be handled in season 11, but doesn't look good for Negan's future at all. Maybe there won't be any further words uttered and Maggie will just attempt to kill him. Negan will have to watch his back. I'm sure Maggie still doesn't understand or hasn't been told specifically why Rick spared Negan's life in the first place. And that's a good point. Being all because of Carl's wishes for his dream of peace. Negan has redeemed himself a few times, but just as a question, if that is ever enough for killing Glenn and Abraham. He did save Judith and Dog's life in the storm, and saving Lydia's life when those teens attacked her, and when he got out, when he got her out the way when Alpha wanted to kill her own daughter so he could then kill Alpha. Negan pleading with the biker gang to just let him go, similar to Rick's pleading with him to just talk it over and let them go. We now know where he got that trait of no negotiation to follow Negan's warped code of conduct and rules. Negan was intent on making amends for not being there for Lucille before her cancer diagnosis with cheating on her. It's also looked as if Lucille was considering killing Negan for it. it was nice seeing a glimpse of Rick. Those movies can't come fast enough.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Same for me. I mean, and seeing Rick in that little flashback, it just reminds me of the fact that for me, this show hasn't quite been the same since he left. Like, you know, it was unequivocally my favorite show on TV. And then Rick Grimes left, and you know, it just, I haven't been able to say that. It's still up there, but it's not my favorite. And I don't mean to criticize the show. I just mean it's been great. It just, I miss Rick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's hard because it's like, I mean, I guess, I mean, I you know, I've had some experience with the comic, so it's like, you know, I didn't read the comic till after, you know, watching The Walking Dead on TV. But, you know, it always was this story about Rick and Carl. And then,
right.
you know, then there were the others and this yeah. and that. And so yeah. for them,
but to Rick just and Carl, and yeah, and, but Rick and Carl, and when they killed Carl, you know, that was like, you know, part of it left for me. And then when they, you know, didn't kill yeah. Rick, but they pseudo killed Rick,
wrote Rick off.
Yeah. you know, that was, it was tough for me to keep going, you know, with the show, because that was just something I never thought they would ever do.
Do, yeah.
Either thing. And, you know, I thought it was going to be like Carl at the end, you know, but yeah. nope.
Yeah. Well, and then it also was kind of like where, though, then that's when it's like, oh, and then it was like, I just forget her. Maggie. It was like, you know, Maggie, like, oh, she's kind of off the show, but not really. But then she like disappears. And then like Michonne, oh, her last episode, you know, it's kind of like all our favorites are just kind of being pulled out. And it was like, oh, and then, you know, it just kind of changed the whole dynamic of the show. And, it, you know, we all had to adjust, and we know that there's a movie coming. And of course, now COVID kind of spoiled all that, because we probably would be doing the movie, like, the movies would be coming up right now, mm-hmm. but we're going to have to wait until next year. So it's like,
yes, we are.
Yeah. So anyways, it's yeah, it's good to see him at least. And then the last she said was both Lucille and Alpha had bald heads. That must've messed with Negan's psyche somewhat.
I haven't even thought of that, yeah. but yeah.
all right. Well, that was all that Glennis had from, for her feedback. Thank you, Glennis. And so I guess that just leads us into our own. And I guess, Brian, you actually have a lot to start with.
Yeah. I mean, I pulled a lot of stuff from Talking Dead, but there were also some stuff that I pulled on from my own stuff. Like, Ruthie and I, when we started covering Fear, we had a whole bunch of episodes where we were like, what year is it? Like, what's the date of the apocalypse? Cause we were trying to figure out, like, when did this apocalypse start? So one of the things that I noticed is on Lucille's phone, those phone calls came in on November 12th. So, and we hear the calls, you know, the radio says that, you know, there's, zombie attacks. So it has to point to November of 2010 as the beginning of it. And that was one of the times, like late October, early November, I think that Ruthie and I were considering maybe the time, because we saw, in Fear, we saw these posters that were up, and some of them looked like they were like around homecoming mm-hmm. or something, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's around that time. So I guess it makes sense in a way. And I think there might have been some from August, which that would be kind of a long ways away. But, you know, often they'll keep posters up way past their time. So I guess it's possible. But anyway, sometime in that frame, obviously we see November 12th in the phone. So we know that it's happening on November 12th. So, the mascot, it turns out that the team, the high school that Negan's at, the Saviors, that was something that his high school team was called, the Saviors. And that's something that, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I guess he wanted to push as the, you know, the origin of the Saviors, which makes sense. I guess he was a teacher at a Catholic school or something.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Negan's last name is Smith, which I mentioned earlier, but that's something that was mentioned on the show. And when she's in the car looking at her phone and she's playing the radio, the news broadcast is actually David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, the mouthful, doing the news report. And he is actually saying the same things that they were saying on the radio on Night of the Living Dead. So it's actually an homage to that. And the song that comes on the radio is a song that was, I didn't write the name of the song, but it was actually a song that was in the Return of the Living Dead, the, you know, the 86 movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. The novel that that Negan is reading to Lucille is Pride and Prejudice, which was, you know, again, an homage to Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which came out a few years ago.
Yep.
She had on the Half Moon t-shirt, which makes sense. That's why Negan knew who he was, because Lucille was into Half Moon, Half Moon being Beta. So that was interesting. Another zombie thing, there was an Iron Maiden poster up, you know, Eddie is a zombie basically. Yeah. So Iron Maiden, I'm still a big fan of. When I was heavy doing coding, the last couple of weeks, I had Iron Maiden on my headphones most of the time. The biker gang was actually Valak's Vipers, and Valak was the name of the nun from The Conjuring 2, and that is a movie that David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick co-wrote. I thought that was cool. I never would have caught that because I've never seen the movie. But there's also a thing that originally the bullet, the line after Lucille shoots the walker, that, you know, Negan was hapless at trying to kill, which was kind of funny, though. He put the knife through and it still didn't kill it. Anyway, originally it wasn't going to be, that was our last bullet. It was going to be, I was saving that bullet, which they decided to change because it seemed like it telegraphed what Lucille was going to do too much. So it would have ruin the surprise, I guess, which I totally understood, because they confirmed on the show that Lucille was in fact wearing the same clothes that she was wearing when Negan left. So that would make you assume that, you know, either she died the same day he left or soon after. So that's kind of sad. The other thing I noticed is that Hillary Burton Morgan is actually from suburban Virginia. She's actually from a place called Sterling, Virginia, which isn't too far from Alexandria. So sort of on the county away, but still not too far away. So I thought that was interesting. That's it for me.
All right. Cool deal. Yeah. I was like, I had caught that too. And I was like writing that in, and then you put it in there before I did. But I thought that was like, it was kind of cool. Cause I mean, it was some of the stuff in my notes was just like, oh yeah, the announcer on the radio was all saying, oh, it's like, and then they like, you know, people are like, there are these are like, whatever. It's like people are eating the flesh of the people they kill.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, I haven't seen, like, you know, I haven't seen those movies forever.
It's been a long time since I've seen Night of the Living Dead.
I watched it a few years ago, actually, and it still holds up.
Yeah, Night of the Living Dead. I didn't catch the reference. I was just all like, oh, cool. I like it when we get to see basically the start of it all. And, you know, it kind of takes us back away from like, oh, yeah, just our current reality, which is like, oh yeah, there's just walkers everywhere, and everybody's kind of like, yeah, whatever. It was just fun. But getting that,
they're coming to get you, Barbara.
All right, well then, if that is all that we have with our feedback, then I'll go into news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news,
and basically I move the info into our notes section, so I don't have any additional info. But I do have ratings, and I'm happy to say that ratings are up. So, and they should be. Season 10, episode 22, got a 0.60 in the 18 to 49 with 2.124 million viewers. I mean, it's not like an historic rise. You know, it's not like massive, massive improvement, but nevertheless, it is stopping a downwards trend. So we'll take it. And that compares to a 0.55 in the 18 to 49 with 1.938 million viewers last week. Now, one of the things, I don't have it in the notes here, but I mentioned that I was going to talk about this on the in the episode. I went and looked this week at the ratings that you could see for Sunday night. And this would include both the network shows and the cable shows. And if you compare that, like Walking Dead got a was third in the night of cable, and it was it actually did fairly well. There were only three shows on network TV that did better than The Walking Dead did, and none of those were at 9 o'clock hour. So it actually won the 9 o'clock hour. Yeah, because they were all 90 day. Okay, 90 day Fiance did better. And it was a 2 hour 90 Day Fiance, so it did better. But that's the only one at the 9 o'clock hour that did better. The other shows that it did better in on the network TV were earlier. So okay, sorry, I correct myself. American Idol was actually was also 8 to 10. So that was the high ratings thing of the night. It got a 0.85 with 5.607 million. And the highest like total number of viewers, 7.658 million for 60 minutes. So what does this mean? What does this all mean? It means ratings are down across the board. It's not just The Walking Dead. It's everything across the board is lower. And I don't know. I don't know if it's COVID related. You would think that if it was COVID related and people are staying home, they would be watching more TV. But I don't know. Maybe they're bored of watching TV. I don't know what it is. But, you know, maybe they're busy watching Netflix or, you know, whatever streaming show, or
they're watching they're watching SpongeBob.
Right.
Yeah.
That always seems to be the
yes, because when we get to the parents, we'll talk about SpongeBob in a minute, but Talking Dead. Now, I didn't know why this was, because I didn't see it on I didn't watch it when it was on cable Sunday night. I was too busy working. But on Sunday night, Talking Dead aired at 11:24 p.m., and it got a 0.09 in the 18 to 49 with only 307,000 viewers. And that is versus last week's pretty low, 0.13 and 620,000 viewers. Now, it turned out, and you guys probably would have been able to tell me this, but I guess Gangs of London came on before it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that like a new AMC show, or is that a BBC America show? What
it's
is that?
It's their new AMC series. And it's, I don't know. For me, it was on. I glanced at it. I was doing something else. It kind of smells Badlandy to me.
I was about to say.
It's basically just what it says. It's a modern, you know, crime drama from the criminal standpoint.
I don't understand why, like, you have a talk show, basically, about a show that just aired. That why wouldn't that just be the next thing over? Instead of being like, oh, here, I'm going to force this on to you.
And well, then, look
like,
at the time. Look at the time. They're trying, they're hoping. It's just like all those times as I ended up watching part of Nosferatu because it was on. I'm thinking and hoping it's a new show that they can leverage the viewers that are already there for Walking Dead, and that they're going to go, hey, it's a new show, and they're going to watch it.
And the funny thing is, not really, because if you look at the ratings for Gangs of London, I didn't write them down in the notes, but just looking at them now, it got a 0.17 in the 18 to 49 with 656,000 viewers. So a little bit less than, or sorry, a little bit more than what Talking Dead got on last week. But if you look at the ratings from the previous week, that's actually lower than The Walking Dead or Talking Dead was the previous week. I think it got a 0.18 with 800 something thousand or 800,000 viewers. So, you know, it's, it didn't do great. So, you know, I don't know that I understand why they do it, but it's really annoying that they do it and they keep doing it. AMC's an annoying network.
Yeah. But I had to basically, you know, find something to do for an hour until Talking Dead came on.
Before my AMC premiere stopped working this week, I noticed that there was something that I was going to try to watch on AMC.com, and it said, well, you have to upgrade to AMC Plus to watch it. And I'm like, well, I still have AMC Premiere. Okay, well, that's not good enough. You have to have AMC Plus. I'm like, oh, come on. Now, okay, mind you, I shouldn't have had AMC Premiere because I had stopped it already, but I don't think that that really plays into it. It just, you know, I don't know. It was weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
So moving on to SpongeBob, I mean, the parrots, looking at the parrots again this week, number one in the parrots again was SpongeBob SquarePants with 66.3 times the demand of an average show. Number two was, again, a show I've never seen, know nothing about, Attack on Titan, with 66.0 times the show. And the number three, My Hero Academia, which, again, I know nothing about, at 59.8. So they're all three of those are all pretty high, and three things that I don't know who is asking for these things, but they're certainly not me. You have to go to the number four show, Saturday Night Live, to actually get to something I've actually heard of at 54.2 times. But The Walking Dead, strangely enough, even with Here's Negan coming on, it was down to number nine this week at 40.5 times the demand of an average show. And I bet you next week, because I think they measure Saturday to Friday, I imagine next week The Walking Dead will be up again because of the Negan episode, and I, especially as more people watch it, you know, later in the week, I think it will improve in the numbers. So, yeah. So anyway, that's it for that. Talking Dead, we talked about it a lot, but it was, I noticed this also. If you took the average of everyone that participated in the show, the average names of the show equals three, because Chris Hardwick had Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Hillary Burton Morgan, Yvette Nicole Brown, and David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. So the average there is three per person. So, and of course, David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, he's greedy. He has four. So he makes up for Chris Hardwick only having two. So,
well, unless Johnson - McGoldrick counts as one.
Well, he used to be David Leslie Johnson, and he changed it to Johnson McGoldrick. And I'm not sure why. The only thing that I've noticed, though, is when I go back and I look at a show, or when I look at David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick in Wikipedia, it says that he was born in 1942.
Okay.
So I mean, and if you see him, he's clearly not born in 1942. So maybe there's some old timey guy in the Screenwriters Guild or, that has David L. Johnson or David Leslie Johnson. We know that there was a lighting guy that died recently. His name was David Johnson. There was a writer on staff of Fear whose name is David Johnson. So I don't know. It's all confusing. So maybe just adding the Johnson McGoldrick, maybe that's why they did it. I don't know. But
yeah. Well, that would make sense. The only thing I had that I put in here that I wanted to add was because I know Renee definitely and all of us are we're excited about Fear. But I mean, I came across where it's the next episode of Fear the Walking Dead, which is called The Door, which of course would have been the mid-season finale. And what I could gather from somebody that an early reviewer, and they did kind of a spoiler-free reaction to the episode. And this is just a few. I think they did 40, but I just picked the few that was kind of funny. But it was their reactions were oh no, 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 no. That was deliciously intense. These two are the spinoff I want to see. That was my nervous laughing face. That's the most horrifying thing I've ever seen, and I've watched 10 seasons of The Walking Dead. Excuse me while I cry forever, and man, this is going to break Twitter. So, that's all I even that, got into it.
Yeah, that last part, excuse me while I cry forever, and man, this is going to break Twitter, makes me wonder...
makes you wonder, but then it could mean it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. But,
I mean, those words and I have a feeling next episode is going to be intense. It's going to be good. And then also I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
But excited. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, the other thing that came up this week was we know when season 11 is going to premiere, and it's going to premiere earlier this year. It is going to premiere on August 22nd. So that's almost 2 months early with a batch of 8 new episodes. So what it looks like they're going to do is it's actually pretty much exactly what I was thinking they would do is they would release them in batches of 8 like they did the 16 before it, so instead of us getting 2 batches of 12, we're going to get 3 batches of 8. So they'll do this first batch, the summer / fall time period, and maybe we'll get either World Beyond or Fear after that, and then we'll then maybe get second half in the winter / spring, and then the final 8 get in the summer or early fall, something like that. It could be around the same time frame that the last few episodes of Game of Thrones came on, for example. That's all we know, but we do know that it's coming back early this year, August 22nd, which will be interesting. So assuming that August 22nd, that would put – I never looked it up, but with August 22nd, that would put episode 3 on, the Labor Day weekend, 4, 5, 6, 7. It would put the season finale on – October 10th. So you could definitely see another 8 that could start on the 17th. So, I would think that probably Fear could have, it's season 7 starting on the 17th of October,
I mean, they're definitely going to, they obviously are switching some stuff up. And I mean, we do still have World Beyond, which is it only has the last season. It's going to tell its story. So I'm sure there's probably a little bit of a shuffling to have everything kind of play out so it's done.
And it's the movies are next. Possible. It's possible that they could end up having the last 10 following the first eight of, you know, because maybe there are some things that happen in that last 10 that propel the last 16 mm-hmm. of The Walking Dead. So, you know, or like even season 7 of Fear as well. So, it, you know, I guess it could very well be World Beyond. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm still not very much looking for that, but
no, but I mean, I could see where it's like, if they're trying to kind of like maybe thread a storyline or like a in the universe kind of thing, that could be why they're doing breaking things up. So that it's just kind of like,
yeah,
doing that. Kind of
it's
stuff.
Quite possible.
Yeah.
Daryl did find an army base. Didn't what's what Carol said to Negan when he came back and was like, oh yeah, he found an army base. Well, if you want some food, if we find some, we can bring it to you. So I keep thinking, I'm like, oh, you know, it's like, I don't know. Does that mean something CRM or who, or, you know, is there just Commonwealth, you know, or I don't know. So, well, we'll see, I guess. All right. Well, that's the end of our news. And all right, LT, why don't you tell people how to interact with us?
Okay. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter. That's at WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can also email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. Remember, we have a feedback form on our website, and that's at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. You can leave us a voicemail. You can call 216-232-6146. Remember, all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. The videos go out to YouTube first before the podcast does.
And if you'd like to support us, you can like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way you can support us is in our Patreon, and you can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, and Lawrence Todd. And I don't have the sound effect for claps. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. That is where you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole entire podcast. Remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter. And when we post them, or tell a friend, word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. We, you know, like before, it's like the YouTube video actually goes up first before the podcast does. So if you want to hear it right away, you can check that out. But definitely, like, if you see the post or, you know, whatever you get on Facebook or Twitter, it's just like, share it, retweet it. You know, it's like tag people in it. I know you can do that on some things. So that would definitely be great. All right, Brian, where else can we be listened to?
Well, the Star Trek Discovery podcast, Star Trek Picard cast, and Lower Decks podcasts are kind of on a hiatus right now. But we will have a Patreon episode coming up. We keep saying it's going to be next week, and the week comes and doesn't end up next week. So it's probably, I'm thinking probably going to be in the middle of the month at this point. So would that be 17th of April? So that's tentative. But so we'll just have a little get together on there, and that's at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTM podcast is our Facebook group. StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com, you can get straight to the episodes. And of course, the Patreon And that's where you can get involved in these Patreon calls. It's at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. And as little as $1 a month gets you in. So our next episode will be actually Fear the Walking Dead talk through. So we'll be changing our logo again. And that will be covering season 6, episode 8 of Fear the Walking Dead, titled The Door, which we mentioned, if you have AMC Premiere or AMC Plus, it is available to watch right now. It is written by the co-showrunners Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, and directed by co-executive producer Michael E. Satrazimus. The description from Google is as follows. A reunion with an old friend helps pull John Dory out of his darkest moment yet. Back at Lawton, Virginia demands answers.
And we are going to actually be pushing our deadline for next week for Fear to Wednesday. So do like you have a little bit more time to put some of your feedback in, and we will definitely post that so you will definitely know about it. So see you next week.
So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.